Hey, hey, I'm your host, the Dr. Danko, come on in. You've been missing out, so let's begin. Oh, Pumpkin underscore Crumb is your host here too. When you hear the beat, you know what to do. Why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you warn me now? Why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you warn me? Hey. So now we can talk about what we've seen this week.
Yeah, it took us a long time to go see it.
Yeah.
So what did we watch this week, Matt?
We watched Deadpool 2.
And we were very excited about it because Deadpool is pretty special to us.
Yeah.
We both obviously fucking love the movie because
right.
It's incredible. We were hanging out watching the movie when Matt told me that he liked me.
Yeah.
Which we've talked about.
Yeah, we've talked about, I think, on our Valentine's Day episode.
I think so.
But yeah, so the movie itself has a lot of meaning to us just because that's like the origin of our relationship
right.
as romantic, you know, lovers.
Exactly. And I'm sure Ryan Reynolds would be honored.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I wanted to go see it opening day, but
yeah.
I've been so sick. And
they were even having a double feature where we could have seen one and then two.
Right.
But yeah, you were sick and it didn't work out.
Right. So we finally made it on like Wednesday of last
yeah.
week. Yeah. So what did you think?
So the story, I don't know if I want to spoil it, but I kind of do.
I think we have to.
Yeah. Like, so spoilers for Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. The story is about, so Deadpool himself.
Yeah.
Basically his girlfriend from the first movie, Vanessa.
Yeah.
She dies.
Like, before the opening credits roll.
Right. And Deadpool's like, well, fuck this.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're, like, from moment one, they are crazy in love.
Yeah.
Just, like, happy, fun, perfect for each other
yeah.
kind of love. And she is talking about, like,
starting
a family, and he's into it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so she dies immediately.
Yeah. And then he, like, goes off the deep end, basically.
Yeah. Like, just gets very, very tortured, very
yeah.
crazy. The opening credits are all, you know, funny like they were in the
right.
first one, but it's, like, written by, wait, did they really just fucking do that? Like,
yeah, because it was A, unexpected, and B,
yeah.
like, very soon.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
like, so Deadpool opens up with his, like, traditional, I'm going to tell you what happened before we got to this moment, but
right.
by the end of this, I'm going to die. Because
right.
Wolverine, or Logan, came after my R rating, and then he did one better by dying in his movie.
So I'm going to die.
Which is just hilarious.
Right. It's yeah.
So he blows himself up, and that makes him
just in a bunch of different pieces.
In a bunch of different pieces.
Still just as tortured.
And that's
alive.
When... Is that when...
Colossus... gathers him up.
Yeah, picks
yeah.
him up and takes him off to...
To become an X-Man.
Yeah, to the Xavier School
right.
for Gifted Youngsters or whatever it's called.
I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go
okay.
ahead.
No, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no. So he takes him back there and he's sulking and all this other shit.
Right.
And they basically make him into a trainee X-Man.
Right.
So they go out on this call where this teenage mutant
Ninja Turtle
Russell.
He's not a Ninja Turtle.
No, he's actually from New Zealand.
Yeah,
the actor that plays. Did you read?
I recognize the accent.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
he's a Kiwi.
Not only is he from New Zealand, but just as a side note, there was like, you know, like an opening party something or whatever mm-hmm. for introducing the movie in New Zealand,
oh.
Which he was able to do, but. He wasn't allowed to see his movie because he's underage.
That's so funny.
Yeah. It's like NC-17 or something, and he's not old enough to go see it. So
That's
they were
hilarious.
Like, you can basically do everything, but you can't see the movie. It's like, how the fuck do you do
that?
He knows
what happened.
Like, he was in it. Like,
right. He was in many of the crude scenes. Right,
he was part of the problem.
Right. That's so funny.
But, so, he's like this fire starter, basically. Yeah. He can, like, make fire from his hands.
Right.
And so Deadpool, Colossus, and I think Negasonic.
Negasonic is there for, like, a hot second. Yeah. With her girlfriend, yeah, which is cute.
Yuki.
Yeah. Yuki. Hi, Yuki.
Yeah. they show up, and Wade is like, it's gonna be okay, kid. Like, everything's gonna be fine.
I'm an X-Man.
And then...
Training!
Yeah. And then the kid is like, they abuse me at this place.
Right.
And Deadpool's like, well, that's not fucking right. And he starts, like, murdering people. Right. And Colossus is like, that's not how we do things.
Right.
And so they... The SWAT team that's, like, been surrounding the building, like, mm-hmm. surrounds Deadpool, puts a collar on him that suppresses his mutant abilities.
Right, which for Wade Wilson means that he now has very aggressive, active cancer.
Terminal cancer.
Yeah.
He can't regenerate or anything like that. And they get a collar on the kid, too, so he can't burst into flames, and they send them to a prison, a maximum security mutant prison.
Called the Icebox?
Yeah, the Icebox.
The Icebox.
Very
clever.
Right.
It's like the attic.
Yeah, because like...
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're in prison, and Wade is just like trying to keep his nose down because he can't do anything.
Right. Wade is focusing on like dying, which he thinks that he might finally be allowed to do.
Right. Because at this point, he's ready to die. He was trying to die so he could be with Vanessa.
Right.
But he can't die because of his abilities.
Right.
So this is like the one chance he has.
So he's like, great.
I'm done.
Perfect. Yeah. Sign me the fuck up. But the kid wants to like be best friends and survive in jail and like...
I'll protect you, you protect me, that sort of shit.
And Wade's like, no.
And Wade keeps brushing him off.
Right.
And then, all of a sudden, there's this... So, like, shit's not going right for them. They get beat up.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. Then we get introduced to Cable, who is played by Josh Brolin, Thanos. We get a shot of, like, the future, where everything's, like, ash.
Right.
And then Cable, looks through time as to how this happened and realizes that Russell... becomes the person that like murders his family, basically. So he goes back in time to murder Russell
as a kid
because that would be easier
theoretically. Although why wouldn't you have gone back to before he started exhibiting these powers? Like, are you just like can't kill a baby? Is that come on now. All of these like, you know, killing baby Hitler things, it's always such a philosophical argument.
Wait, so you do remember that's the argument they make in the movie, right?
Yeah,
okay.
There.
I didn't know because you said it very like it was your own idea, and I was just like, well, yeah, no, I totally agree with that. That's what I was thinking when I was watching the movie. It's also the same thing with the Terminator. They send Terminators back in time to kill John Connor when he's like a teenage boy. So John Connor sends a Terminator back to protect himself. And like they, in the first movie, they go back and kill his mother. They try to kill his mother.
He's not as important.
I know, but I'm saying it's the same idea. Like, why wouldn't they just go back to when he's a baby and murder him then?
Right.
Don't
fucking feed him. Like, the end.
Put him in a box.
Right.
Right.
Babies are helpless.
Yeah. They have a soft spot on their head. Just tap it. but anyways, so... Oh, where the fuck was I?
I don't know. There was a lot happening in the movie.
So...
Are we summarizing the whole thing?
We have to.
Why?
So we could talk about the problems we had with it. So Cable gets introduced, is after Russell. Deadpool is like, I'm not letting this kid fucking die.
Right.
And...
For whatever reason.
Yeah, and basically his collar that he was wearing gets disrupted or something, and Deadpool gets his powers back.
Right.
And sort of kicks the shit out of Cable.
Because I think he assumes that Cable is there to kill him.
Yeah,
and then
originally.
Cable's like, haha, right. I'm here for the kid.
But he's not going to let that happen because he has a soft spot for kids.
Right, because of his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Vanessa.
Yeah, so something happens where Deadpool and Cable are like out of prison.
Yeah, somehow.
I can't remember exactly how. Russell makes friends with this giant beast that lives in the basement of the Icebox.
Right.
That we aren't introduced to at first.
Right.
And then basically they're, because of the security breach, they're transferring all the prisoners conveniently on these...
prison break.
These like cargo
cars. I don't know.
It's like it's fucking a truck with individual cells.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of not fully attached to each other, conveniently. Right, right.
So in order to go after Cable, Deadpool is like, I need a team to do so.
They have the X-Force.
And they assemble, like, they get resumes and headshots of all the potential newcomers to what they call the X-Force.
Sorry to spoil that.
It's okay.
You gave me such a look.
No, I was...
They call
them the X-Force. So you get Domino, who's a cool character. Domino's Her ability great. Is luck. Which they argued like for a long time.
It's not a superpower,
but it basically it is.
Right, and everything he's like, and it wouldn't be cinematically interesting.
Yeah, during like the slow mo shot right. of things happening, we get Terry Crews' character, which I can't remember what he's called.
Yeah.
He has the ability to
manipulates like electrical fields,
yeah, like
including
to
the ones
make
in
inside
your
brain.
Head.
Yeah. To disorient you.
Right.
Then you get... I cannot remember any of their names except Pete.
I couldn't even remember his name.
Okay. Pete.
The Vanisher.
Well, yeah, the Vanisher I know because he's not... They do this gag where like they look at his resume and his headshot, but it's blank. And then they're just talking to an empty room and he's like, oh, I guess he's not showing up. Or like, oh, the Vanisher.
Right. Like, and then his buddy's like, yeah, he's not here yet.
Yeah, yeah.
he said he was going to be late.
And they do this gag where, like, when they get to the point where they're on the helicopter, the Vanisher has his parachute on, but it's literally just a parachute sitting there.
Right.
And then it gets tossed out of the back of the cargo plane.
And he appears for just a second
before he dies. Electrocuted. Because he falls onto these wires, and you see that the Vanisher was played by Brad Pitt. Like, of all the fucking people. And then you get this guy, Pete, who has no abilities. He just saw the ad and figured he might as well.
Wait, did Stan Lee have a cameo in this one?
Okay, so technically, yes.
Okay.
But he wasn't actually in the movie. There was a giant building with a graffiti mark on it, uh-huh. and it was his face.
What?
I tried to point it out at you, and I thought you saw it, but I don't think there was
clearly
other shit happening. But there's, like, a pan where they're going through, like, the city, and his face is just this giant graffiti art on this one building.
Why?
Because he wasn't doing well in his health. I don't know how he's doing currently, but
he hasn't been great. Well, if anything happened, we'd have heard about it.
Right. But, yeah.
Sad.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I don't either. Nobody does.
No. Anyway.
Yeah, so...
Moving past it.
All the other ones aren't really... I mean, Bill Skarsgård is like that Venom spitter guy who has like acid spit, but he wears like this glass thing around his mouth.
Is he on the X-Force?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the actor Bill Skarsgård just played Pennywise in the movie It.
Oh.
So he's like... They got all these pretty decent actors for these small parts.
Right.
Because what happens is when they jump out of the cargo plane, basically the entire X-Force dies.
Except Domino.
Except she's Domino, because she's lucky. And Deadpool.
Obviously, because
he had
can't.
His shit together.
Right. No, he can't die.
Yeah, but he didn't fall into anything like the others. One of them fell into a wood chipper. And then Pete tried to help him, and he too...
Oh, Pete.
I think fell into the wood chipper.
I think so too.
Yeah, but anyways, so that all happens, and it's just Deadpool and Domino,
right?
Going after Russell, who's on a transport vehicle, and then Cable shows up.
Right.
They have a big showdown.
Yeah.
And then Russell and his best friend that he made at the prison,
who has not been revealed yet,
break out. Like, the whole thing gets overturned. They're, like, Deadpool and... I wanted to call him Thanos. Deadpool and Cable are fighting each other. So, like, they're distracted.
Right.
And then we get the reveal of who this beast is.
Right.
And it's the Juggernaut.
Which meant nothing to you,
but he's from the X-Men universe.
I figured.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one felt much more like an X-Men movie than the other Deadpool movie.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's this whole showdown with basically everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And Russell's still trying to go after the... Not the warden. I don't know what his title was. He was like the head of the orphanage. The headmaster of...
Who's been, you know, just leading these mutant children to believe that they are abominations.
Yeah. Like, that you shouldn't be like this, and we're going to brainwash you to...
And physically
torture you. To not do this anymore. And so the Russell's whole thing is, I'm going to fucking kill this guy and burn down the orphanage. And Cable tells Deadpool, like, it's once he does that, there's no turning back. He gets a taste for killing and becomes the guy that murders my family.
Right.
It's like, that's why I'm here to kill him. Right. And Deadpool's like, just give me 30 seconds to, like, get through to this kid.
Right.
And so there's a whole showdown that happens.
There's a lot that happens. It is.
This will be one of the talking points of the problems I had with this movie. So I'm not really going to get into everything else. But I will say, so the showdown happens. Deadpool sacrifices himself to so that Cable doesn't kill the kid.
And he has the collar back on at this point, it's worth noting. So the sacrifice actually counts for something.
Sorry, yeah. Deadpool is trying to talk to the kid, and the kid's still firing fireballs at him. And Deadpool's like, I have one more chance, so I'm going to put on this collar and be like, talk to this kid, and he'll know I'm not bullshitting him. Like, I care about you. I forget what I said before. Like, it's going to be okay. And Deadpool knows Cable's about to shoot him.
And that Cable only has one shot left.
Yeah, he has one bullet left. So Deadpool jumps in front of that bullet and takes it for Russell.
Right.
And that's when Russell realizes that, like, he was cared about.
He loved me all along. Yeah.
And then there's this whole death scene.
Realizes the meaning of Christmas.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah.
Yes. It's very much that, though. But then Deadpool's death scene goes on for, like, 7 minutes.
Like, another entire movie.
Yeah.
Like, which, like, is a funny gag twice.
Right.
But then it just keeps happening.
Right. But it does make sense. So, the other thing that I didn't mention early on is that Thanos only has...
Cable?
Yes. I'm going to call him Thanos.
Just needlessly confusing.
Deadpool called him Thanos.
Okay.
Deadpool
called himself Batman. His,
yeah. Thanos travels through time to complete this task.
Oh, right.
And he only has two trips, one there and one back to his time. And after Deadpool makes a sacrifice, Thanos travels back through time to... Basically, to save Deadpool from sacrificing himself. So, like, all the events play out the same way, but Cable put a lead coin in where the bullet would hit him.
Right, so that it didn't kill him.
It doesn't kill him. And things go back to normal, and now Cable's just sort of there.
And, you know, and he and Deadpool have a little love thing going on, possibly.
Right, and then I can't remember how it ends.
Telling.
Right. I can't remember. I know what happens during the credits. I don't remember how the movie ends.
I think he's with the X-Force.
As no longer as a trainee?
No, the X-Force, not the X-Men.
No. I know that, but that's in the credits.
I thought it wasn't. I thought it was he and, like, Negasonic and...
Yuki
and, Colossus and Domino. I thought they were going to be the new X-Force. That was going to be his family.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that how it ended?
Yeah. Yeah. That Russell could be in this group.
Oh, yeah.
And it Russell's would be his family. I just can't remember the point in which the credits roll.
Because
what I was talking about was when the credits do roll, the movie's ended.
Yeah.
Deadpool is talking to Negasonic and Yuki. And
I think that was her name.
Yeah, Yoki.
Yoki.
Yeah, it's something very close to that.
Right.
And fixes Cable's time travel device.
Right.
And then Deadpool is like, I'm going to go clean up the timeline, and, like, vanishes from that time and goes back first. So we see, I think he does the jokes before he actually saves the X-Force, right?
I think the first thing he does is the Wolverine.
Okay, yeah. So we see Wolverine. Well, we see the shitty Deadpool from, I want to say it's Wolverine Origins. I cannot remember which one it's from.
It doesn't matter.
The shitty one where his mouth is sewn shut and he, like, has laser vision or something like that.
Where everybody was like, well, there's never going to be a good Deadpool
right.
movie.
So we see that Deadpool and we're like, what the fuck is happening? And then we see Wolverine, Hugh Jackman, and is like, oh, so they finally figured out a way to shut you up. And then we see like his Wolverine claws. And then Deadpool pops in and shoots the old Deadpool in the head.
Yeah.
And he falls down and he's like, I'm just here cleaning up the timeline, and then just keep shooting him
just
like a lot.
Unnecessarily. Yeah. Just like, bang. Bang.
Yeah.
Just like as punctuation.
Bang, 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 bang. Yeah. And then he fucks off and then jumps again.
He goes to Ryan Reynolds holding
Ryan Reynolds,
the script for
the Green Lantern. He's sitting at his desk and is like, finally made it. Yeah. And then just, you see a shatter of blood.
Like blood splatter,
on
like
the
on the
script. And then Ryan Reynolds is smiling with a bullet hole in his head and he falls down. And then I think he goes back.
And takes care of the X-Force.
So the way in which they all died, he prevents that from happening.
Right.
And, well, I don't think he saves all of them. I think he's just like, Pete, just... Turn the other way. Just don't.
It might just be Pete.
Yeah.
But then he saves Vanessa.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That was the last thing.
Yeah, which, like, brings into question, like, because this is, you know, post-credit, mm-hmm. So is that part of the
it's
canon?
It's canon, yeah.
Oh, okay, so Vanessa's alive.
Oh, Vanessa is alive.
Thank God, she was great.
Yeah, no, she was great, and I mean, as a plot device, I get it.
Yeah, but it was also kind of shitty, because,
right.
You know, she's...
But, maybe that's why they did it, because like they've been pretty good about, you know, being aware.
They had like we talked about this when we were walking out of the movie. Amazing representation.
Yeah, totally.
Like a lot of, not a lot of LGBT, but a decent amount.
I mean,
better than any other Marvel
right.
movie.
Right. I mean,
a lot
Negasonic
of
Negasonic and Yoki.
Yeah.
That whole relationship.
And Ryan Reynolds has been very vocal about the fact that Deadpool is pansexual.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And he plays it that way.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds is the perfect Deadpool.
Yeah. And that was, I think I've told you this, that's the whole reason that shitty Deadpool exists, because Ryan Reynolds wanted to play Deadpool.
Huh.
But this was the version they were going to make, and they wouldn't let, because Fox owns the rights to the character, they
uh-huh.
wouldn't let, basically... If I remember the story correctly, they didn't want to cast another actor if they didn't have to, and Ryan Reynolds wanted to be Deadpool. So basically they were like, or no, maybe they were going to cast another person to play Deadpool. That's it. The studio was going to cast somebody else to play Deadpool if it wasn't Ryan Reynolds, and they wouldn't have recast him for the Deadpool movie from 2016. So if Ryan Reynolds wasn't the shitty Deadpool,
he
wouldn't have
be the
been
the current Deadpool.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was how it happened. I know I got really confused
there
for a second.
That was a lot in there.
Sorry.
So impressions of the movie, now that we've run down the entire plot.
I know. It's important to get it all out there. So
underwhelming.
It didn't do exactly what the first movie did.
It did some things a little bit better.
Yeah.
So, okay.
No. Let's start with what you liked about it, because my bar is pretty low, but even I had problems with it. But
right. Like, you know, it was still very much a Deadpool movie.
Mm-hmm.
Since seeing the first one, I have actually read a couple of Deadpool comics.
Yeah.
And I think that the second one felt much more like comic book Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, like, it was really funny. But a big part of the comic book Deadpool character is that he is miserable.
Yeah.
He is not a happy person. He is fucked up. And this, you know, suicide-seeking Wade Wilson felt much more like that comic book character.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, yeah, the end credit, like, going back and killing, you know, to fix the timeline, it felt a lot like, is it Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe?
I want to say it's that.
Or Kills literature or something.
There's Deadpool Killustrated, where he travels through all the novels.
Right, but yeah, there's Kills the Marvel Universe is the one where he ends up, like, in the writing room.
Yeah.
And kills the comic book writers. Like, yeah, so this felt a lot more like that idea of Deadpool, just not giving a fuck and being able to move through the universe differently than other characters, because the rules just don't apply.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. It's a very neat character. Yeah. There was also, like, he mentioned chimichangas, which I don't think he did in the first one.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah, it's time to make the chimichangas.
Oh, I don't remember that. Whatever, it's been a while.
Yeah, no.
I was busy falling in love with you, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
So, yeah, so I liked that a lot. I loved all the quippy one-liners.
Yeah, no, obviously this isn't a way to tell stories. I would watch a Ryan Reynolds movie, like, just Deadpool being Deadpool for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah, like, not even, like, accomplishing. Like, Deadpool makes a fucking tuna sandwich.
Right. Like. And, like, that's the thing you get out of, like, all the marketing things they make for it, is that it's literally just Deadpool selling his own movie, and he knows it,
yeah.
Which just adds to the whole, like,
yeah.
I mean, just anything that they put out leading up to the movie had just been gold.
Yeah, like, and you can't market anything else like that.
I know.
Because no other character is fully aware of
right.
what's happening.
Like, and can, like, separate themselves. So,
yeah.
Like, in one of the things I loved in the Deadpool movie, and, like, is all the references he makes.
Yeah.
So, like I said, he calls Cable Thanos because the actor plays both characters. And, like, there were many references to Marvel superheroes.
When,
like,
he has the collar on, he's like, give me a bow and arrow. I'm basically fucking Hawkeye. Like,
yeah. And he's like, he calls Domino Black Widow.
Yeah.
And, like, Dopinder is Brown Panther. And yeah. Cable, because he has his one metal arm, he calls him the Winter Soldier. And, like,
and then it's somebody's like, who are you? And he's like, I'm Batman.
Yeah, Cable is like, who the fuck are you? And he's like, I'm Batman. Like, while they're fighting. And it's just all those moments that he's like, he's pulling from, like, pop culture
from
and
everywhere.
Shit. And
it's
like,
so funny.
It's amazing. And there was a photo Ryan Reynolds posted on Instagram of the bottom of his katanas. And on the bottom, one is labeled Arthur and one is labeled B for B. Arthur from the Golden Girls.
Right.
And, like, shit like that. Like, that's amazing.
Great.
And that's just weaved throughout the entire movie, even with the credits, like you said,
yeah.
When it's like the director. Did they really fucking just do that?
Right.
Like, and they got Celine Dion to make the song. And, like, the whole opening credits is a James Bond style opening credit sequence where it's like multiple versions of Deadpool and things like that. It's very artsy.
Yeah,
with the music playing over. Yeah, that was, like, in the James Bond movies, the, you know, the silhouettes and everything are all women, but this is,
right,
Deadpool,
but this is Deadpool,
so he's taking over that.
He wouldn't let anyone else have that spotlight.
Right.
That's funny.
And then
it's so cleverly done.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just a stupid funny movie.
Right.
It is intricate.
Yes. And, like, even so, when Wade Wilson is moping around the Xavier School, he's talking about, like, you'd think the studio would cut us some fucking slack and at least let us have one of the X-Men here. And, like, as he's talking, right behind him, there's this open, like, it's like a study or something, and all of the X-Men from the Days of Future Past
are just
standing right behind him, and Beast goes and, like, shuts the door. It's like, he's interrupting us.
And Deadpool's also, like, cruising around the mansion
in Charles Xavier's wheelchair. I'm just like, that's hilarious.
So we're just, like, hissing ourselves.
It's fine. Like, this because he puts on Xavier's, like,
what's it
mind
called?
Helmet. I don't know what it's fucking called. The
cerebral
something like that.
It doesn't matter.
But he's like, this smells like Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
And it's just all those clever things. That's what I love about the comic books, because even in the comic books, there's a reference to Ryan Reynolds. Like, he looks like Ryan Reynolds or something like that.
Like, Ryan Reynolds fucked a Sharpay.
And it's just, like, that's what I love about Deadpool as a character, and, like, breaking the fourth wall and things
like
that.
And it's wholly unique.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, even so, when the movie opens up and he's talking about, or and he's moping around because he's about to kill himself, he plays this music box which has Logan written on it, and there's a Wolverine
like
action figure It's a Marvel Select action figure, actually. Impaled on this, like, wooden stake thing, like, in the end of the Wolverine Logan movie.
Right.
So it's just all those nods and things like that. And especially in the comic books, Wolverine and Deadpool have a relationship, much like Deadpool's relationship with Spider-Man and things like that. Huh. And, like, Ryan Reynolds is like, I want Hugh Jackman to reprise Wolverine's role in one of these Deadpool movies. And that would Hugh Jackman is just like...
Hugh Jackman is so done.
I love you, but no.
He doesn't want to
I just
want to
dance.
I just want to sing. Poor Hugh Jackman.
Right.
But anyway, so character-wise, like, dialogue-wise, yeah, amazing.
It's all written very
the
well.
The problem for me, and I think for you, was the plot.
It was the plot because, so, a lot of things that happen, or that used to happen with a lot of sequels, it hasn't so much recently because... You know, as, you know, the audience, we've talked about how much we hate sequels and things that they've done. So, like...
So they've gotten better.
More or less, they've gotten better. But this felt very much like a sequel to a 90s cop movie where it's like, we're going to do similar things, but it's all going to be amped up and, like...
We have a bigger budget now, so let us prove it to you.
But that, in some ways, hurt this movie.
Right.
Because... The plot was very much all over the place.
It felt like they were trying to do too many things.
Yeah, it felt like a very early Marvel movie.
Yeah, like we talked about this when we were walking out of the theater. Like before Marvel sort of like revolutionized the concept of the superhero movie, like I've always been kind of intrigued by superheroes, but the problem was watching the movies felt like waiting for the fighting to be over so that you could get to the plot.
Yeah.
And this felt like that again. There were just really long fight sequences where, like, he's throwing in snappy little lines, but not even enough to make it worth, you know, wanting to keep watching. And it's moving too fast to track, like, who's winning and what's happening.
Right.
Like,
and they were all sort of happening simultaneously, especially towards the end. So, like, when Deadpool's after Russell... Colossus is up against the Juggernaut because they're pretty equal in size.
Right.
And Deadpool is like, cue the CGI fighting or something like that. And like, that's what it is, but it wasn't super interesting. It was just fighting. And like, the thing about even you can have, like, they had some cool fighting in the first Deadpool movie. Especially when he's trying to find out who Francis is. Going through all those bad guys and shit like that, and it was interspersed with like him going back to his drawing board and shit like that.
It didn't feel tiresome.
Or like creating his red suit, like he was at the laundromat and things like that.
Yeah, it was still driving this story.
Yeah.
It was still tied into the story. It wasn't just look at what we have the money to do now.
Right. Because then at the end of Deadpool 1, like, the fighting didn't wear on me too much.
No, like, because
I was
still...
It was either quick or...
Yeah.
I was just still interested in what was going to happen.
And there was really, like, there were a couple of different fights happening, but, yeah, each one was interesting because we were invested enough in the fighters.
Yeah.
But, like, I had no connection to Juggernaut, so automatically I don't care about what's happening.
It was just
there.
A cool reveal because I hadn't known that was going to happen.
Right. And, like, Domino is saving the school children, which... great.
Well, I mean, it was cool, but it was...
Yeah.
It was more interesting than everything else that was happening.
Yeah, Cable just confused me a lot because there was, like, this whole... Yeah, there were just, like, too many plot pieces, and Cable was supposed to be, like, the big thing with this movie.
The way they introduced it, yeah.
But it just sort of felt like that got slapped on last minute. Like, that didn't feel like the driving force.
Well, I think, you know, so Cable's whole introduction is he's from the future to stop Russell.
Right.
So that's his plot line.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute you introduce Juggernaut... And that's what their fighting becomes about. It sort of takes away from Cable's plot.
Because
up until this point, Cable is still going to kill Russell.
Because
Deadpool hasn't had his 30 seconds or whatever yet to convince Russell to not continue with this. So, like, he still has his plot. But you completely forget about his whole part in it because there's all this other shit happening.
Yeah, he didn't get very much screen time. So, like, then him... changing sides, it just, it didn't, there wasn't as much of a payoff because, yeah, like, there was, like, the front two-thirds of the movie, like, there was so much happening, yeah, that, like, even when Cable showed up at the icebox, like, it took a second, it was one of those things where I had to, like, re-remember who that was.
Who Cable was?
Yeah, because there was just, like, by that point, we had... like, the whole shit with Vanessa at the beginning. Yeah. So there were the bad guys involved with that. And then there was, like, the SWAT team and the bad guys at the school. And then Cable has been maybe hinted at for, like, a second. And then he's at the prison and we're fighting. And I'm, oh, right, that's who that is. And that, and then...
See, I didn't have as much problem leading up to Cable in prison.
Okay.
What I had the biggest problem with, as much as I love the gags and everything, introducing mm-hmm. the X-Force... because yeah, that took,
it took a
large
so much
chunk
time.
Out of the movie that they could mm-hmm. have used for something else.
And if and everyone, like, is going to die, then you do right. not have to invest that much
That's
time.
The other thing is, like, I was so set for, like, Terry Crews to be fighting crime and shit like that.
Because that was, like, such a big deal in one of the trailers that got released.
It was very much. And, it like, was... I mean, they'd interview all these guys to go after...
For a quick gag.
Yeah.
But it took,
but
like, 20 minutes.
The only one that survives is Domino.
Right.
And, like, she's the interesting character out of all of them. Mm-hmm. Like, those were more or less just cameos for those guys. But
a cameo is, like, 10 seconds.
Right. But, like, if there was another way to get Domino into this world so that mm-hmm. she could still fulfill her role,
right,
that would be fine. But it just, it felt like too much.
Yeah.
Because if you took that out and maybe... it had some more Cable shit in there.
Yeah, then
it
the
might
payoff would have
balance
been better.
It a little more, because, like, I mean, I don't know what Cable could do. It's also as cool of a plot device it is for, like, I only have two trips, and then he uses his single trip to mm-hmm. save Deadpool. As big of a moment as that's supposed to be, it would be way cooler if he could travel through time more, so yeah. that he could show up in different parts of Deadpool's life or something, and, like, fuck mm-hmm. with things so that. Make it easier on himself later on so that we could get to the end where...
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then also,
I don't know,
like,
what you would do, but...
Yeah, and if you don't know... Because time travel, they're always, like, slightly different rules every yeah. time it shows up. So, like, we get it thrown in that he can only do this one more time, but that's really the only discussion we get of the rules for that.
Mm-hmm.
So then, yeah, when he uses his one time, it's like, oh, that's a... big deal, I guess.
Well, I felt it was a big deal.
Okay.
Because he knew what he was doing, and he
But again, had... they're just... I didn't have as much time to latch on to him, so it yeah. didn't... So there wasn't that big, like, emotional moment of, oh my god, he threw away his chance to see his family, because
yeah.
there were a lot of other balls in the air.
Yeah. I don't know. I think just because I was... One of the things going into this movie, I was very interested in seeing Cable.
Right.
That I latched on to him pretty quickly.
Okay.
Especially in the first trailer I saw where it's just his green arm.
Yeah.
Like, that really caught my eye. And it's like, what, you guys didn't have time to do this?
Right.
Like, fine, I'll do it myself. And then he plays with his action figures. Right. Like, the marketing is just
legend.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a Marvel Legend mishmash of, like, a Cable action figure and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no. There was something else that I wanted to say. But I don't remember. Yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, it was fun.
It was fine.
The first one was better.
Yeah, the first one was better. It was more streamlined and with a smaller budget.
Yeah, I mean, because honestly, like, sometimes you start throwing too much money at things and it, like, it does not make a better product.
Right.
Like, I mean, the first Deadpool was so much funnier for all the limitations.
Yeah.
And then finding out, you know, all of the things that stacked up to make that, you know, to try to, you know, just make it impossible and to make it suck. And
yeah.
then they made this just amazing movie.
Well, like, at the end where Deadpool is, he's on his way to fight the bad guys and he has his fucking armory in his bag.
And he leaves it
in the taxi because they didn't have a budget.
They couldn't do it, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And it worked. And
yeah,
it
was so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then... suddenly you have money to have the armory with you, and
yeah.
that's all we're seeing.
Yeah, I don't know what you would do in place of, like, even if you keep the X-Force in,
mm-hmm.
if you keep them alive, it just adds more people to your
yeah,
plot.
Yeah, it just makes it bulkier.
I don't know how you would fix it. I do
Not
think
either.
Introducing Cable more mm-hmm. would benefit even maybe introducing him in the beginning.
Maybe.
Because we get introduced to him, like...
at, like, a random time. Not even a particularly heavy moment.
I can't really remember. Or if we had more, like... maybe, like, more Wade Wilson, like, at the end of his ropes with shit.
Yeah.
Before he blows himself up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe he's still fighting crime, but, like, just looking for shit to, like, get beaten up and things like that. I don't know. Because
there was also, like, the whole weird recurring thing where he would almost die and then be...
he'd be, like, dying.
And then he would
because
see
of his regeneration.
Vanessa and be trying to reach for her, and there's, like, a barrier or something.
Yeah.
And she's like, your heart's not in the right place. And he's like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, but that was... like, we spent very little time on that, too. Like... very little time, I guess, exploring that. Like, it showed up a couple times, but...
thinking about it and, like, saying it.
But, yeah, it wasn't...
with everything
else
that was happening
around,
it was hard to keep track of.
But then there was, you know, the acoustic version of whatever the fuck it was.
Take
yeah.
me. Where Deadpool is... he sacrificed himself for Russell, and so he's dying, and so he's gonna get to see Vanessa, and they play Take On Me in this acoustic version, and I just lose it.
And I look over, and Matt's just sobbing.
It's just
like,
so emotional, because he's walking over, and now he's gonna be able to go through that barrier and kiss
wasn't
me like
emotional.
You miss me.
Yeah. It was emotional.
It is emotional. Yeah. No, but everything else is like, oh... fuck.
Right. Like, this
the
is,
fighting sequences lost
just,
me.
Yeah, it just kept going.
And, like, that other thing that happened with a lot of early superhero movies, where they'd introduce a lot of villains.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fuck, what was it? Well, it happened with Batman Begins and...
was it one of the Spider-Man movies?
Spider-Man Super... 3 in particular.
Yeah.
Because you have Sandman and you have Venom,
right.
And then you have the Green Goblin, who's not bad anymore. Like,
right.
trying to do all this thing, these things, and it was like the Dark Knight was just like Batman and the Joker, like that was it. That's what they wanted,
right?
And like, luckily that worked out for them. But you don't need more than one bad guy.
No,
you can have the bad guy have minions or whatever, but like Russell, that's fine. Adding the Juggernaut, even to balance things out, no.
No.
Then you have the guy that runs the orphanage or whatever, and then you have the X-Force is just a side plot. It's a lot of characters.
Right.
And if Infinity War has taught us anything, you need to balance your characters.
And the problem is, like, Marvel has this, you know, entire, like, pantheon of amazing characters, but even if you're making 2.5-hour movies now, like, you still can only do so much and have an audience that's emotionally invested. Because what I've been thinking, like, hearing you talk about Cable throughout this podcast, like, I'm wondering if I would have been more invested if I had looked into Cable before the movie started. Like, if I...
maybe.
Because then what I was also doing was having to figure out who Cable is and what the rules are and what he can do in addition to processing... you know, the emotional through lines in the movie, which is, I mean, what I tend to latch onto, characters and their, you know, feelings, but, yeah,
well,
so
you should
there was
latch
just,
onto.
There were too many balls in the air,
yeah.
too much to try to figure out all at once while everything is happening.
I know, and that's the thing for, like, the Marvel movies themselves, it's, even though it's using material that exists, it's pretty good about introducing it to an audience as if they didn't read comics.
Yeah.
And you could argue that, like, so we got Cable's story pretty much straight away.
Mm-hmm.
His family died. He's a time traveler. He's here to kill.
Go.
That's it.
Yeah.
But, like, to get that emotional connection when, at the end, he uses that one time jump to save Deadpool, the guy he has hated this whole time.
Right.
We just need a little more time with that.
Yeah.
With Cable.
We just... yeah.
And I think taking the X-Force out would have helped that.
I think so, too.
I don't know what you would do.
No, I don't know.
Because even... I was thinking about this while you were talking. Like, not like I wasn't listening,
fine.
But
it's
like,
fine.
Even if you have him jump around through time, it's not really telling you anything.
Right.
It's just good to do. Like,
just taking out one of your subplots so you can...
yeah.
beef up your main storylines a little more.
And he's like part cyborg. So he because he was like building a gun or something.
Oh yeah.
But It was cool to look at, visually interesting. Necessarily why it was put in there.
Right.
And that's the thing. I don't know that much about Cable.
Right.
Most of what I know about Cable came from the Deadpool video game, okay. which was a decent video game. Like, because, like, Deadpool is like, you know, I'd been around for some time. I should have a video game made after me.
Sure.
And, like, he gets on the phone with his agent or something, and they're like, we can't do this. The script is bad. And Deadpool's like, I'll rewrite the script. And, like, the whole game is about him making his own, like, video game, basically.
Yeah, and, like, with the first Deadpool movie, I was, I was kind of hesitant to go see it because this is, like, such a deep canon character that mm-hmm. nobody knows anything about.
Well, I mean, it's not as deep as other characters. I mean, Deadpool only came about in 91.
Okay. Still, he's not one of the ones. Like, yeah. Spider-Man doesn't need another fucking origin story. Right. Everyone knows.
That's true. Like, Deadpool, before the movies, Deadpool was sort of the background, like, underrated character.
Okay.
Some would, like, you see on the internet now, some would say he's overrated now because of all right. the popularity he's
got. The reception to the movie has just been, like, wildly interesting
yeah.
because there are the fuckboys who
right.
do not understand anything about the story or the character or
yeah.
Ryan Reynolds.
Right.
And then there are the people that are just, like, losing their shit over, you know, this suicidal superhero who, mm-hmm. like, you know, it's not glorified. It's not, like, it's just... Anyway, yeah, but so the first one I was worried about going to see because I was like, well, I'm not going to get it. But, you know, Ryan Reynolds, not going to yeah. miss that. We weren't dating yet. It's
fine. I get it.
Right. So I went and I saw it, and of course I loved it because it was amazing and it was so approachable.
Different.
And yeah, like it very quickly brought you in. But this one, the second one, it felt more... I don't know. It didn't feel as inviting.
Yeah,
it relied on like knowing the characters.
Yeah. And I mean, we didn't get we got Negasonic like
briefly.
Sporadically.
She was so great.
Yeah.
I'm happy for her and her girlfriend. But
yeah, I mean, I hope the movie does well so they can make another one.
Exactly, because there's
like,
definitely potential for
yeah.
the X-Force.
Yeah, and I mean, based on what I read online. Originally, during the end credits, the writers wanted to have Chris Evans in the credits,
mm-hmm.
but not as Captain America, as Johnny Storm from the Fantastic Four, because Fox has the rights to that. And then Michael B. Jordan was going to show up as the other Human Torch,
right.
and they were going to like outdo one another or something like that.
That would have been amazing.
Which would, again, link... you know, the Deadpool universe to Fox and that superhero universe.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the Wolverine bit in the movie and mm-hmm. then the Days of Future Past bit in the movie
mm-hmm.
Because they're filming Dark Phoenix or something, the next X-Men movie.
Huh.
They were filming it and they had them all there. So they were like, let's
so
fucking throw
yeah,
you in
perfect.
Here. But it seemed to me like they're trying to, in some way, introduce the X-Men
yeah.
as like... more forefront characters.
Yeah, it was much more an X-Men movie
yeah.
than a, like a solo character movie.
I know, and
which is cool. Like
it's very cool.
Hopefully, opens some cool doors.
Yeah, and with the Fox Disney Marvel thing,
yeah.
yeah, I don't know what the future of Deadpool will be. I can guarantee you, it's still going to be rated R,
oh,
regardless.
Yeah.
Because why the fuck? No, they wouldn't do that.
You can't censor Deadpool.
Yeah. But I do think it was sort of them seeing what they could do with the budget they had, seeing how audiences would react to it. I mean, a lot of people I've seen loved the movie.
The second one?
The second one, yeah. But then I've seen just as many people say, you know, the first one's still better and things like that. So, I do hope there's another one.
I hope so, too.
I hope Ryan Reynolds never stops being Deadpool.
Oh, yeah. I hope he's, like, 80 years old
yeah,
in Deadpool.
That would
be
amazing.
Incredible.
They wouldn't need to put makeup on him.
No.
Yeah. But he's very much invested in this character.
Oh, yeah.
So...
I mean, that's why, you know, a huge part of why it keeps being so amazing.
Yeah,
because he keeps pushing for it, because he cares a lot about the character.
Yeah.
Which is perfect. I mean, that's what you need.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, definitely go see it if
yeah.
you haven't. I know we
it's
spoiled the
time.
Fuck out of it.
I mean,
you'll definitely have some fun
we laughed
during
a
the
lot.
Movie. Yeah.
And then go home and watch the first one again.
Much needed, yeah.
Yeah. We won't do that tonight because we're going to watch Black Panther probably.
Yeah.
Because we got the DVD.
Oh, yeah. Blu-ray.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
We're starting our MCU collection.
Yeah. Because I haven't bought any Marvel movies, which is weird.
Yeah. It's out of character for you.
Yeah, but I stopped buying DVDs and Blu-rays I had only got because I worked at the exchange.
Right.
So when I found them cheap or whatever, I would get them. But yeah, I don't have any of the Marvel movies on disc. I used to have them all on my hard drive.
I have the Avengers on DVD, yeah. Which you fell asleep during.
Oh, please.
During the director commentary. No big
deal,
whatever.
Well, Joss Whedon.
Too soon.
No, I know.
Yeah, and then so tired. I just bought Black Panther.
Yeah.
Which I'm very excited about.
And then I'm going to make a collective, like, case for all of them.
Yeah.
Because, like, phase one, there's an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. suitcase that comes in that lights up, and there's like the cosmic cube or whatever it's called.
the Tesseract.
Sorry. I don't know what the fuck the cosmic cube. That's from something.
You just think about a cosmic brownie.
No,
you get hungry.
But it's in the center of the suitcase when you open it up,
nice.
And then all of the DVDs are in there, and then there are files on all of the Avengers and shit like
That's
that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it even includes the Incredible Hulk, the movie with right. Edward Norton.
Right.
Because that's technically canon.
Yeah, it's the only Hulk movie.
Yeah.
That's weird. Mm. Anyway, but yeah, so
only
we
Hulk
have to...
movie in the MCU.
Yeah.
Because the one didn't count before it.
Oh, right.
2003
yeah.
anyways.
So we have to acquire all of
them. We have to acquire all of them.
Slowly,
but,
probably.
Yeah.
But I needed to
Black Panther was a good move.
Life-changing.
I'm surprised we didn't get Homecoming, though.
We will.
Yeah, no, I know we will, but...
Yeah, I just didn't
or
feel
Ragnarok.
Like the same... impetus to own it that I did with Black Panther. I want to support in every way I possibly can because
yeah, well
oh my god I'm still not over it.
Yeah, but we were just as into Spider-Man because of Tom Holland.
That's true.
But then Black Panther came and fucking
set just obliterated everything. I do still like, you know, of the current collection, I do still want to own Homecoming and
obviously
Ragnarok.
We're gonna own all of them,
right?
But
good. Order of priorities.
Yeah, fair enough.
So anyway.
All right.
That's
that concludes
got.
Our two-part episode. And my voice is shot.
Yeah. Time to get Matt some tea.
Yeah.
Or water. It's hot in here.
Yeah, it is.
We're going to turn the AC back on.
Yeah. And we're going to watch Black Panther.
Absolutely. All right.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Matthew the Dr. Danko.
I'm Hillary Crumb. I'm here, too.
Once the show ends, please don't shed those tears. We'll come back again, so have no fear. We told you that it just might end up this way. What's the show called again? You cannot be saying, why didn't you warn me?